Welcome back to RSN Central, and as always on a Wednesday morning, Michael Barlow joins us. Good morning to you, Mick.
G'day, Gareth. Thanks for having me. Yeah, last day of the trade period. It's been a slow build, and today it's all going to explode. Finishes at 7:30 Eastern tonight. So probably after we finish here, it's all going to happen within the next 7 hours.
Do you think there'll be a few nervous players?
Not really, because I think you're pretty privy to what's going to happen if you're a player. Like, having a good read this morning about the players involved, everyone, there's no really left field ones. I might be made to look like a fool. There's speculation at the moment around picks 3 and 8 for Melbourne. They've got their hands on pick 8 from North, and so that's 2 picks in the top 10. What are they going to launch? Are they going to launch something significant and, a power play for Tom Papley or whatever it might be? That's the murmurings. Still think Carlton sit in the box seat for Martin and Papley, having already landed bets, but that was probably their third-tier option.
Just with Matthew Nix, he's just signed as the coach of the Adelaide Football Club, and I thought he spoke really well at his media conference there yesterday. He's already talked to a few of the players that have been thinking maybe of leaving that football club. How much of an impact will he have on those players that are sitting on the fence right now for the Adelaide Footy Club and say, well, should I go or should I stay? He hasn't got very long to try and talk them into staying.
Yeah, it's a good call, Gareth, in terms of the coach comes in, brings stability to the whole football club. Justin Reid's held the cards across the whole trade period in this list management decision. So Matthew Nix, I think, in his press conference yesterday, said he hasn't actually got much of a say at all, really, in the next, 7 or 8 hours, because he's not privy to all the information. So spoke to Brad Crouch. I know for a fact Brad Crouch is in Queenstown, so that would have been a phone discussion. Brad, from all reports, is pretty comfortable to sit there and play the next 12 months and not rush a contract decision, as he's finally getting some continuity into his body. So Matthew Nix, you're right, spoke very, very well. You could see he oozes professionalism. He caught himself a couple of times speaking about maybe making some assumptions about the club, and then caught himself really quickly, said no, and involved himself. So I really enjoyed what I saw, my first impressions of Matthew Nix, that's for sure. So in he comes, the coaching merry-go-rounds are now complete.
Yep, so we all know who's coaching who in the AFL this year. Obviously, Matthew Nix has got a challenge because they've had a pretty tough, especially couple of seasons now, the Adelaide Football Club. After that infamous camp, they haven't really played their best football. Mm. I think he's got to make a decision on the captain to start with. Taylor Walker stepped down.
Yep.
Who do you give the job to?
Mm. Well, Rory Sloan.
Does he just do it by himself?
I think... That's another one. The crosstown rivals there, Port Adelaide. It's a discussion around their joint captaincy model as well. I know Port Adelaide traditionally, it's essentially been a written rule that you have a standalone captain. And this year, Tom Jonas and Ollie Wines did the job together. Do a bit of work with Dwayne Russell, a passionate Port Adelaide Magpie man, and he was, it's reading between the lines. He's staunch in the fact that there should be one captain. But Ollie Wines' trade murmurings earlier in the week might throw up a bit more complications around that. So whether that's Tom Jonas does the job on his own next year, or Ollie Wines does the job on his own next year, I'm a big fan for the one captaincy model. And that's the way I presume Adelaide will go. And I think the obvious one, it's just Rory Sloan. It's his to have. Your opinion, Rory Sloan?
I think he's a really good player. He's a wonderful leader at that football club. I'm not inside the four walls of Adelaide, and obviously they have struggled over the last couple of seasons. And Rory has had his injury concerns, hasn't he, along that journey? So
they need stability, Adelaide, don't they? Because they've already out the door Greenwood, out the door Betts. Alice Shulman went really early. So a lot of change for personnel. Yeah.
Josh Jenkins will be interesting. Yeah. What happens there, what unfolds, especially... maybe later today. Whether Matthew Nix can, wants him first of all.
I think, from my point of view, it has too much water. The thing that was really curtailing this one was the lack of interest in Josh. And I think there is interest from clubs, but it's that chess game. And really holding your nerve, holding your cards close to your chest, to then, okay, we can get him for this. Because at some point, Adelaide will come out and say, we'll pay X amount of his wage. He already wants to take a pay, is willing to take a pay cut. So, yeah, it's a fascinating watch, the Josh Jenkins one. I think he'll add huge benefit to a club he lands at. Geelong was spruiked this morning. Collingwood's one that it's a watch this space with, if they can get some money off their cap to incorporate someone like Josh to help that forward line, help DeGoey, give them another threat inside the forward 50.
St Kilda, they've done pretty well, I think. I know when you talk about trade week, you think that you've traded well, and then obviously the proof's in the pudding in a year or so, maybe 2 years. That's the story there, because there's been a few clubs that have thought they have traded well. I think the perfect example of that was Port Adelaide a couple of years ago. They got Motlop to the club. They got Jack Watts to the football club. I think they also got, from the Brisbane Lions, Tom Rockliffe.
Yeah,
from the footy club.
And they've underachieved to this point. So, you can sit there.
And say, well done.
Because tomorrow the papers will all come out and say, who won the trade period? Well, you don't know until a product's been put out, inside the white lines in 2020. So, Port Adelaide's situation a few years ago, they contradicted themselves the next year by going to the draft heavy, but they drafted super well. So, and that really paid off. Connor Rosie, Butters, Dersma. So they've now got a mixture of the star talent they brought in, who has probably underperformed as on a whole, relating to Watts probably in particular, Motlop definitely. Rockliffe's had a good year this season. They need to make top eight to keep Ken English's job. This year, again, they've got rid of some of their players that I think could have made a difference. Paddy Ryder, I'm kind of in the camp that's a good move from the club. Dougal Howard just shocked me. He is a young, talented player, can play both ends of the ground.
With Kane Corns. Kane Corns said he's maybe an all-Australian centre-half back in the future, that his numbers suggest in the early part of his career that say he's well in front of a Dylan Grimes.
And he's got one of the greatest names going around in the AFL, Dougal. So that's another part they're losing, a bit of variety in the naming stakes. So Port Adelaide and St Kilda have made some big transactions yesterday. Brad Hill has been reportedly very unhappy and very anxious about everything that's been going on. In terms of, he wants the surety that he's at St Kilda.
Okay. And is St Kilda his number one choice? Yeah, he wouldn't go anywhere else?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of hypotheticals that are thrown out there. Why wouldn't he? And this is what I am a bit, I think the AFL have to look into ways to fix this up. So he's been offered the contract, $900,000 a year to go to St Kilda. The circumstance is he's a contracted player at Fremantle, and his reason to leave is relative on compassionate grounds, to get back for family reasons, for his partner. So where is the line drawn? That, okay, you're leaving a contract. We're going to when can the club have some power and say, no, it doesn't matter if you've got $900,000 on the table here. The best deal for us from Fremantle is for you to go to North Melbourne or Melbourne. You're still going to be in Victoria. So we're fulfilling your requirement to get you back to Victoria or to Victoria on these compassionate grounds. You can't have your cake and eat it too. That's the Bradley Hill situation a little bit. It's $900,000. Yep. I want to go back to Victoria. Well, Freo will get a good deal out of it when it's all said and done. That one doesn't sit super well with me.
Well, I can't. This is what I find difficult to understand, and it can be with the Tim Kelly situation as well. And in the end, I think Geelong did pretty good over there with the deal with the West Coast Eagles. But my argument is, if Brad Hill wants to come back to Melbourne, then he doesn't really get a choice what club he goes to. Yeah. He just has to go to a Victorian club. Mm. So whatever club can do the best deal for Fremantle should be the club that Brad Hill goes to. and can afford him.
And he's got a contract already at Fremantle.
Yeah, so he should be on the same amount of money.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm with you on that one. I think that's a space that has to have some investigation into. Because essentially Brad Hill is holding Fremantle captive and saying, get me to St Kilda.
Yes.
Peter Bell's done a terrific job from my point of view in saying, hang on a sec, we will, whether it's a power play, and saying we will hold you to this contract if we can't get a good deal. So that's where the clubs do get a bit of power. It's like, well, we've got you in a contract here, and there's a part of me that would like, again, the compassionate elements of it wouldn't like me to see it happen, but it's a business that does Freo hold its nerve and say, we haven't got exactly what we wanted out of this. Your contract, so you're going to stay.
Yeah.
And if the situation was, okay, you put me to any club in Victoria, which I think is more the Tom Papley situation, I'm happy to pretty much go to any club.
Yeah.
Then that club offloading the player in contract will have a greater opportunity to get good bang for their buck. So,
it's interesting one. This is RSN Central with Gareth Hall and Mickey Barlow. It's the final day of the trade week. It just goes over 7 days these days. I think it goes for around 10 days.
Conspiracy theory. I talked to Mark Williams earlier, my coach, Choco.
Does he think they're just waiting for the last 90 minutes when it's televised live?
Yeah.
Okay.
Short answer?
Which makes sense, really, for the AFL.
Yeah. I think maybe the last 6 hours are broadcast, through various media outlets from AFL House. So you're right, it'll interest a lot of people's Wednesdays. Everyone loves the build up and potential controversy that might fall out, and that's still to play out. There will be a controversial one that might not get done. Or you're right, earlier we talked about a player that we haven't heard anything about to this point. Bang, he's gone to Fremantle or West Coast.
That doesn't usually happen these days, does it?
No, it doesn't, but you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. So
Richmond are the flag favourites in 2020 at $4.50. Basically, they won't lose any plays, really, of any significance.
No.
I don't think, anyway. No. And they get Alex Rance back. They get a proper pre-season into Tommy Lynch. Yep. So, and they also get Marlon Pickett. So they're in a pretty good spot at the moment.
And this is completely unfounded. I have nothing to support this suggestion I'm going to make. I see Richmond as a perfect landing space for someone like Harley Bennell. What does Richmond have to lose in terms of bringing in Harley Bennell, in terms will cost them nothing? His talent and potential. The off-field stuff might be...
Well, that's a problem.
One. Yeah.
He's had more chances than anyone in this game, Harley Bennell. And I lived in Perth for 3 years, and I used to see him out at night spot sometimes, and he disgraced himself after chance after chance. And there's probably reports out there that didn't really reach the surface. And we're not trying to bash Harley Bennell.
No.
But the problem is that I think what he needs to do, if he wants another chance in the AFL, that he needs to say, okay, I can get my life together off the field.
Yep.
I'll knuckle down for Peel Thunder and the Waffle. I'll play a solid season there, and I'll get my body
draft
right.
Draft opportunities, all that type of stuff. And
yeah.
I suppose I'm relatively close to Harley, and I know that there are elements that he's really turned around. He had a child recently, which I think everyone with children out there would probably relate to. That it probably does straighten you up a little bit, but he's... had a solid year, some disappointments, and clearly wants to continue playing. And the body element, the calf stuff, it seems that they might have got to the end of that.
Yeah.
But, that's, again, until we see him run out in the strip next year and play a good level of football and continuity of football, at whatever level that may be. I think clubs, you're right, sitting here right now, I'd love to see him get an opportunity at a place like Richmond, but... the smart, I suppose, suggestion would be clubs will put the pistols in the holsters and wait for that mid-season opportunity if he's got some continuity in his footy.
I see West Coast are at $6.50, and I know Tim Kelly's a massive recruit for them, and they've got some improvement, I think, with players like Nick Natanui having a full season under his belt, and a few of the bigger bodies as well can improve, say, in 2020. But I don't know if Tim Kelly is actually going to be the big difference for the Eagles. Like, they've got a lot of players that are pretty similar in ability for mine.
He probably just brings a little bit of class and polish on top of Redden. Shuey is an A-grader. They're wingers, Gaff and Sheed. They're really good players, but do they have that explosive speed from stoppage and ball use? Not really. Whereas Tim Kelly gives that. His ability to go from stoppage to that 5 to 10 metres outside the stoppage and use the ball really well, I think, is something that West Coast have identified that they need. I reckon a huge, and we talked about this last week, a huge win for the West Coast Eagles was the fact they held on to all their talent in terms of Petrucelli, Oscar Allen. They didn't have to. They've sold up big in the draft, but they haven't lost any of the blokes they've already got through the door, who I think could validate really, the investment that West Coast put into them. Petrucelli, Oscar Allen's the one for me. If he can improve and become a 25-30 goal kicker next year, it's a West Coast only nipping at the heels at Richmond, really.
Collingwood are at $8, GWS at $8, Brisbane are $11. I like their recruiting over the off-season too. I think they've got a couple of really good plays to complement what they were able to achieve and to their list in 2019. Brisbane at 11, Geelong at 13, I think might struggle. The Bulldogs could be the big improver at $13. Hawthorn at $17. The Bombers at $26 have been the big drifters over this trade period with the news that Joe Danaher wants to leave. Fetage obviously stayed.
Yeah, but his 2019 was underwhelming.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And sometimes these players in the trade period, they get talked a lot because they're basically on the table. But there's a lot of players that get talked up for their abilities when they really haven't produced that much over the last couple of years. And I guess that's why we talk about them in the trade.
Yeah, it's so circumstantial, isn't it, in terms of AFL? Because it is a 12-month industry, and there's interest in it every month of the year. So at the moment, it's the trade period. So some of these players that are getting speculated about and rumoured about suddenly become, gain 4 or 5 extra legs in terms of their ability, because there's no games being played in haste. It's all, okay, oh, geez, James Ace, for instance. It's, he suddenly becomes relevant and everyone's like, oh, yeah, he's a great player. He does this and that, but he's a fringe player at Collingwood. And it's similar. Another example of that would be the mid-season drafting process. Around that period, when the AFL's hitting a little bit of a lull, it's been going long enough, it's too far away from finals for anyone to get excited about that. All these players in the mid-season draft pool become, the next superstar, the next Tim Kelly, there probably was some validation. Well, there was a bit of validation on grand final day with the Marlon Pickett story. Mm-hmm. But in reality, the majority of those guys are going to get picked up mid-year will be bits and pieces players. So we can tend to over-sensationalise things, certainly, in the AFL.
Mickey Barlow, always enjoy catching up with you. We'll catch up again next week and we'll have plenty more to talk about, you would imagine.
We will, yeah. That trade week will be all done and dusted, and then it'll become about, the drafting process, who's, where they sit in terms of the Gold Coast Suns. It seems, absolutely now concrete that they'll take Rowell and Anderson, and who's next after that. The Suns are a club, I think, that have had some significant news this week. It's clearly with Ben King. Wasn't that a huge result to get that signature? From my point of view, it becomes a real landmark moment, an opportunity for that club to launch themselves. Ben King committing was huge. A kid from Melbourne, huge talent. Obviously, the family links back here. So now they've just got to put that product onto the field and get some wins. 6 to 8 wins for the Suns next year would be a good result.
Thank you very much for that, Mick. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll catch up with you next week.
Always, Gareth. Enjoy your day.
There's Mickey Barlow on RSN Central. Time for a quick break here, and we'll be back with plenty more.